Good afternoon. You know, my friend and I have been frequent business flyers on your airline for over 10 years now.
We've only been up and running for 6 months, sir.
Don't try to confuse the issue with half-truths and gorilla dust.
I have no idea what that means either.
Welcome to Undressed Off the Record. I wanted to start off with a bit of humor because we are going to go down a very dark place. We got to talk about the conspiracies surrounding 9/11.
Is this real world or exercise?
I think we might have lost her.
Hey, Mom, sure that you heard that a plane crashed into World Trade Center 1, 4, 5, and then World Trade Center 2.
Stay calm.
You're doing a good job, ma'am.
It's so hot. I'm burning up.
I'm fine. They're gonna come get you. Can anyone hear me? Oh my God.
This is not an easy topic to talk about. It's never an easy topic to talk about. Depending on who you come across, you'll either get all the feels because you'll share and reflect on how you experienced that day. But then there's such an other group of people that you might run into, and they're becoming more and more vocal thanks to the internet, that will tell you that you're just being manipulated and lied to because what happened was not an attack. It was an inside job by our own government to manipulate world events and policies and reactions and such. This group I'll call the 9/11 truthers. I'm lumping them all into one because there are different truther groups out there and they don't all agree. But for the most part, generally speaking, all of them point to this being an inside job. And we're gonna go down the rabbit hole a little. I don't want to take us to the deep end. That's why I'm not going to pull up any of the information. I'm not interested. I've done it before. I've been there since like the first or second year after the 9/11 attacks. I delved into the 9/11 truth movement, and I've dealt with them for quite some time now. And I'm just like a lot of them. Not professionals or experts in any of those fields, just people researching information and then arguing passionately about one way or the other. The official accounts of 9/11 are that four planes were hijacked on the morning of Tuesday morning, September 11, 2001. Those four planes, two of which hit the World Trade Center Towers 1 and 2, and the third that hit the east wing of the Pentagon, if I'm not mistaken. And the fourth crash landed in some fields in Pennsylvania. Never made its intended target, which many believe was Washington, D.C., presumably the White House. As a result, we got involved in the Middle East in a level that's unprecedented. When we got involved in Afghanistan and ultimately invaded Iraq. That's the official telling. The questions by the doubters emerged from what they saw with their own eyes and questioning what they saw. They began questioning, can two planes with jet fuel of that much actually bring two buildings down? And conveniently bring down all the World Trade Center, because if you're not familiar with this, the World Trade Center was actually seven buildings, not two. So when the two major buildings collapsed, they collapsed on the others. But why did building number seven collapse? Building number seven, World Trade Center 7, is said to be, was a CIA building, which was conveniently evacuated. So what were the secrets that were destroyed on that building? That's what they argue. And they argue that the jet fuel would not have been able to bring two buildings down. And they argue based on maybe one or two individuals. No, there's more on this. I'm sticking to the official accounts of two. Of two individuals that have a... So their accreditations are supposed to be in mechanical engineering. And supposedly one of them is being silenced and her work has been removed. And they're claiming World Trade Center truther censorship stuff over it. And a lot of conspiracy theories point to this this engineer's most recent work and studies that say that the buildings actually turned into dust before they collapsed, and so on and so forth, that only she saw it, the rest of the world didn't. I'm like, oh my goodness, these expressions are stupid. The whole world saw what they saw. So that's the latest predominant theory, because early on it was led by World Trade Center 7, and of course the... most of the fringe groups that argue about the 9/11 being an inside job are leftist groups. They're not all leftist groups. A lot of them are libertarian. They're also on the right, some fascist sites that argue that it was an inside job. It was all done by the government to orchestrate an effort for us to get involved in the Middle East so we can go after energy resources, mostly the oil that would benefit Bush and his family's company, and also Halliburton, the contractor that supposedly got these oil fields and stuff. So that's the long and short of it, long and short of everything. And I'm going to be addressing this, the arguments about this in a larger scope. What is the truth that has happened, that transpired after 9/11? The truth that we can point to is a surveillance state, increased powers to the National Surveillance Agency, NSA, constant monitoring of American citizens, basically a suspension of the First Amendment rights to an extent while the government monitors us. Looking for trigger words in communication exchanges, monitoring certain activities, like what are you doing, how you're doing this, why you're doing this. This is something that the government's always done. They just announced it officially because of the NSA. Also, the installation of a new department, which was the Department of Homeland Security, because apparently none of our intelligence communities know how to talk to each other, and the solution that the government finds is to create a whole new department with six-figure salaries for everybody that works there, it seems, and their job is to basically make sure that these intelligence communities talk to one another, which I find pathetic. Just more tax money being thrown out the window. In our course, our involvement and our everlasting presence in Afghanistan, which is officially the longest war we've ever fought. Because it's an enemy that which we fight that doesn't exactly wear a uniform of a certain country. Another thing that the truthers point to is that none of the hijackers were of Iraqi descent. They were Saudi descent. So why the heck do we go into Afghanistan and Iraq? Afghanistan being the stronghold of Al-Qaeda at the time, which was led by Osama bin Laden, which was ended up taking out during the Obama administration. Then you have Iraq. What do they have anything to do with? ISIS is said to be birthed because of our involvement in Iraq. Well, Iraq has the resources, the oil fields and stuff. Here's where these truthers, they don't agree so much. Because they say, yeah, Bush did it. It was an inside job. Bush did it because he wanted to benefit the family company. But then they'll tell you that Bush was the biggest idiot that ever was president. So how could he have been smart enough to plan something in about 8 months to make it happen? And for all the events to line up as conveniently as they say it did. There's other groups that say, no, it was Cheney. He was the puppet master and Bush was nothing but the puppet. So like, okay. So Cheney was really the president. Bush was just the face. If we went after the oil, why are the oil fields in Russians' hands? I'm just asking a straightforward question here. Throwing it out there. Here's where I discredit all the 9/11 truthers. Depending on who you're talking to mostly, or which groups these fall under, the majority of them would argue that it was something like this. look, I'm not going to talk about the Illuminati folks. There's people that the Freemasons and the Illuminati, they believe that this was all lined up, and there's this, the shadowy government entities that are pulling strings to make all these events happen, and money's to be moved here and there, so we can all become under a global control. Look, me being a Christian and knowing that God is coming soon, and the Book of Revelations talk about a one world currency and the mark of the beast and all that, yes, I lead credibility into some of those arguments I'm making. Man isn't that powerful. It's happening along the line of something else. But they believe in the Illuminati and the Freemasons and other like international monetary funds and stuff like that to be able to do something to that extent. I am not all too versed on these groups that are in the conspiracy theories, so I'm not going to try to delve all into that. And honestly, I don't even care to give them the right representation. The point is, I think they're all crazy. As it said, sometimes lies have truth to them. Most of these, if not all, the conspiracy theorists, and this is the craziest one I've heard, but the conclusion is what most of these land on. The craziest theory I heard was that there was no one on those planes when they crashed, except United 3. Because the passengers that were supposed to be there, because they're gone, right? The passengers are witnesses, and they couldn't be witnesses to a truth. So all the passengers from the three planes, the two that hit the World Trade Center and the one that hit the Pentagon, were put into United 93. The other three were remotely controlled into their destinations to make the appearance of these planes crashing, these commercial airliners crashing into their targets. And United 93 was being supposedly shuttled or flown to a secret facility where then they would hide these so-called witnesses. But instead of getting into the facility, it was shot down by a jet. By a fighter jet, took it out of the air, blew it up, and then it crashed. Because some witnesses say that they saw the plane disintegrate before it even hit the ground. With a trail of smoke. And here's where it gets more interesting. So that means it wasn't Islamic terrorists that did this. And all these phone calls you heard at the beginning were falsified. So how did the government remote control these planes into these towers? That's an elaborate plan. Where do the planes intersect so they can offload these people? Well, this is where most of these people agree. Mossad was behind it. Who's Mossad? For you Americans, you're familiar with the CIA. For those of you James Bond fans, are familiar with MI6. MI6 is the CIA of England. Mossad is the CIA of Israel. Yes, this is where it all lands, that this was supposedly all a Zionist move to frame Muslims in order for Christian America to wage a crusade against the Middle East and defend the interests of Israel. This is why I argue, I don't take them seriously. All these conspiracy theorists, I don't take them seriously. Because they blame the Jews. And I have to suspend my belief in that there's no such thing as Islamic terrorism. That's what infuriates me. 9/11 was not a one-off attack. Islamic terrorism has been around for millennia. It's nothing new. It's just new to a generation of people that are coddled. And thanks to the internet, where you can make whatever you want up and call it news and start a movement or a challenge or hide behind an avatar and create something that you're not. It's very easy to falsify evidence and stuff. Now, does the government do things and they falsify it? Absolutely! You think I took the government at face value? Of course not. Was there negligence involved in 9/11? I strongly believe so. A lot of it extended back to the 90s. We're supposed to lend more credibility that one or two supposed mechanical engineers that refute what every other mechanical engineer says happened. For 9/11, are more right than the others just because they fit the narrative of what the conspiracy theorists want to believe. That makes more sense. Like, oh, and you can't find her information. You can't find Dr. Judy Wood's information anymore. She was taken down. So if they took her information down, why is everybody else retweeting, reposting everything that she did? And how come they haven't taken you guys down? Who's censoring you guys? Every time you type in 9/11 stuff on YouTube, the first things you come across are 9/11 conspiracy theories. You'd be hard-pressed to find legit news. So I don't know what you're talking about in terms of censorship, because the only ones that I know that are being censored because of algorithms are conservatives. When you type into Google, trying to do a search about research about the history of what happened back then, you get 9/11 conspiracy theories. So what are you talking about? You know what isn't a conspiracy theory? The most documented media ever produced about our path to 9/11, also titled The Path to 9/11, that has never seen the light of day on home video on any means possible or digital means. Because the Clintons don't want that out there. So what's that tell you? Try to find that one. Google it, Bing it, Yahoo it, do what you want. Try to find it. But mostly that bothers me about this whole thing is that we have to suspend our disbelief. We have to believe there is no such thing about a real enemy that's after our livelihood simply because they don't like our livelihood. Yes, I'm talking about Islamic terrorism. You find the media today more panicked about supposed white supremacist groups that it's a startling increase of white supremacist groups that are attacking like non-whites. Okay, so I just quickly pulled up the Global Terrorism Database because I want to give you perspective on the attacks by the five worst perpetrator groups in the world. And the latest stats available are 2018 because obviously we're still in 2019. And the worst five at the top of the list, the Taliban. In 2018, they had 987 attacks, total deaths over 6,000. The second group, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, ISIL instead of ISIS. They had 543 total attacks, resulting in over 1,300 deaths. The Fulani extremists, 297 attacks, resulting in nearly 1,200 deaths. Al-Shabaab, total attacks, 260. Over 600 deaths. And the Maoist Communist Party of India, Maoist or CPI Maoist, 248 attacks, resulting in 175 total deaths. That does not include the total injured, and it does not include any kidnap or hostages that they have done. And I just wanted to point this out real quick. None of these are white supremacist groups, but the media will have you believe that the greatest threat to us right now are white supremacist groups. The four out of the five on this list are Muslim extremist, Islamic fundamentalist terrorist groups. So keep that in mind. And these are not even all the groups. There's a lot more than just these. So this, again, from the Global Terrorism Database, you're able to check it yourself, look it up online. And I just wanted to share that with you all. So I cannot suspend my disbelief or belief, however the expression you want to use, to pretend that this doesn't happen or doesn't exist, because it does and it has existed for a long, long time. That's why I cannot take a lot of these conspiracy theorists at their word, because I have to not believe that this is happening. Okay, that's it for this episode, everybody. And as always, I'll see you in the next one.